Hello, my loves, and welcome to Cupcake Chronicles. Each episode is an inside look on the millennial experience. We are the current trendsetters and the next generation of decision makers. We are the swing in society's hips and the swagger in her steps. But beyond social media trends, glow-ups, and catchphrases, who are we? What do we really care about? Where are we going? And how will we get there? Join me, Akiria, aka Cupcake, as we have conversations that matter, right here on Cupcake Chronicles. We're back on schedule. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you caught Sunday's episode where we talked about speaking up and walking away. Speaking of Sunday, well, we'll get to that later. First, to wrap up Women's History Month, I have two women I am honoring tonight. The first is Queen Mother Moore. She was an African-American civil rights leader and a Black nationalist who was friends with such civil rights leaders as Marcus Garvey, Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela, Rosa Parks, and Jesse Jackson. Born Audley Moore on July 27, 1898, she was a figure in the American Civil Rights Movement and a founder of the Republic of New Africa. She was an activist for 70 years, dedicating the majority of her career to fighting for reparations. Queen Mother Moore argued that to promote reparations was to adopt a political stance that claimed that the Middle Passage, slavery, and Jim Crow systematically destroyed the culture, heritage, and rights of Africans and their descendants, and that these atrocities could only be remedied through extensive economic restitution distributed by way of grassroots networks. She became an ancestor on May 2nd, 1997, at the age of 98. The other woman who I am honoring tonight is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is an attorney and jurist who has served as a federal judge on the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit since 2021. I can't talk tonight. As you may know, on February 25th, 2022, President Joe Biden nominated Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to become the 116th Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. She is currently awaiting Senate confirmation. On September 14, 1970, Judge Jackson was born in the nation's capital, but grew up in Dade County. Before earning her undergraduate and law degrees at Harvard, she was a member of the debate team at Miami Palmetto Senior High School. Upon confirmation, Judge Jackson would be the first and only justice with experience as a public defender. Upon confirmation, Judge Jackson would replace former Justice Stephen Breyer, the justice she clerked for from 1999 to 2000, becoming the first Black woman to sit on the Supreme Court. I honor both of these giants in women's history. All right, after a respectful pause, let's move right along. So I was in my second service Sunday evening when apparently all hell broke loose. You already know what I'm talking about. The slap heard across the nation. Now, things have been pretty heavy lately with Russia being toxic and tearing up Ukraine. Gas is higher than a valedictorian's GPA. And a panorama is having a new baby every week. But on Sunday, Will Smith slapped the dog piss out of Chris Rock. And the world was quiet for a whole 180 seconds. There are so many angles to this. And baby, I bought my protractor. So let's get into it. Okay, so first angle. Was Chris Rock wrong for his joke? Now, I read an article saying that Chris Rock was diagnosed, I believe, as an adult of being on the autism spectrum called Asperger's, which is a high functioning end of the autism spectrum. But it makes you have social difficulties. So you're intelligent. You're otherwise a fully functioning person. There really isn't any speech deficits or anything, but that social component is where you catch your L's. And so that often shows up as saying inappropriate things, doing inappropriate things, and not being able to, excuse me, read the expression of people after you do something. So basically, it's just a disconnect in that whole social component. Now, I only saw that on one source. I don't know if that's been confirmed. I don't know if he has Asperger's, or not has it, but I don't know if he's on the autism spectrum with a diagnosis of Asperger's or not. But that's what Blue Ivy's internet said. So was he wrong? I don't know. That's tricky because he's a comedian, and a lot of being a comedian is about being wrong, saying inappropriate things to get a reaction. And most of the time it's saying things that people want to say, but socially are conditioned not to say. Is there a line? Is there are there some lines that you just don't cross when it comes to comedy? Because I know, for me, my sense of humor can be dark sometimes. I like more satirical humor over like overt silliness. Maybe I'm on the spectrum. I don't know. But I watched the video. Well, I watched a clip because, like I said, I was in church getting my help. But I saw a clip, and maybe because I'm not necessarily a G.I. Jane or whatever the movie reference was, consumer, I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, I don't think it was. Now in retrospect, I wonder if he thinks that the joke was worth the slap. Like, if I'm going to tell a joke that gets me slapped, it better be a funny joke. And I just don't even really think it was that funny. Like, of all the things to come up with, of all the people to heckle, I kind of feel like it was low-hanging fruit. Like, Will and Jada have been the center of all the jokes, what, for a year or 2 years now? And it's kind of like, it's tired. And not to be how do I want to put this so that I'm probably never going to be completely politically correct, but not to sound like a jerk, but all those people in there, and you know what I mean by people, all of those people in there, and you couldn't find anybody else to joke on, you couldn't find anything else to joke about, because honestly, the Oscars, while it, I guess, has become more inclusive of African-American people or people of color, this isn't really our show. So I say that to say, I'm trying not to say it disrespectfully, but you couldn't find anybody else to joke about. I'm just leaving there. You know what I mean? If you know, you know. So right or wrong, I don't know. I can't say that he was wrong for making a joke. In comedy, you go for it, and sometimes you land and sometimes you flop. Would I have told that joke? No. But I'm not a comedian either. So, I don't know. That may be some kind of comedic strategy, but I think for me, the thought is Black women are already disenfranchised. We're double minorities. And he did a movie called, what was it called? Good Hair. And even though I think Good Hair didn't really get into the depths of what the phrase good hair means in the Black community, he learned enough to know that Black women are very particular about our hair. First of all, Black women are very particular about meeting standards of beauty, whatever the standards may be at the time, whether we set it or whether we're following it. Black women typically are very particular about our appearance, and specifically when it comes to our hair, it's already such a heavy topic because, you know, I mean, it gets, I don't want to get too deep, but it gets into colorism and, you know, the good hair versus bad hair conversation really has less to do with how much you spend on your bundles and more to do with how diluted your African genetics are. So to me, when you see a Black woman who has shaved her hair, I'm going to venture to say that either A, she's had some kind of spiritual journey that has led to that, or B, there is some kind of illness associated with it, because typically Black women just, I mean, culturally, we just don't shave our heads. There are even some Black people who believe that it's bad luck for a woman to cut her hair. So I feel like, Asperger's or not, Chris Rock knows. He knows. I don't care how Hollywood you get. He knows that there's some significance to a Black woman cutting her hair. I don't know about white women because I've never been one. But for Black women, cutting your hair is a big deal. It's normally not just for fashion. At least not shaving it that low. Maybe, you know, a little undercut, or, you know, our little tapered cut made popular in the 90s, you know, the Halle Berry cut. Nia Long used to wear her hair like that too. But bald, like just shaved, no. And not because she isn't beautiful. I think she's gorgeous. I mean, she has the most beautiful features. It's a lot of, I mean, Black women who have worn their hair cut low or bald, and they are stunning. Right now I'm thinking he could have even made a Wakanda reference, but he said G.I. Jane, like, but maybe again, I wasn't the target audience for that kind of joke. Maybe, I don't know. So anyway, moving on, was Will right? This has been the biggest debate. I think people are less concerned with Chris Rock and more concerned about was Will right or wrong. And that's heavy because, you know, this was a big night for Will Packer as he produced the show. And, you know, we as Black people, we look forward to moments like that. Moments that have the potential to shift the atmosphere in our culture and in these formerly white spaces. And so from that aspect, I get why people are disappointed. Also, there's the aspect of people saying that, you know, Will is a public figure and he should know better. But again, it brings up that conversation of Why are we as a people, and when I say we, you know what I mean. Why are we as a people looking to celebrities and athletes as role models? That's troubling for me because these people are entertainers. It does not make them experts on living life. It does not make them experts on making decisions. And when we hold them to this standard of being role models, I think we set ourselves up. Because yes, Will and Jada, you know, they seem to be very introspective people. They seem to be people who are forward thinkers. They seem to do a lot of therapeutic work as individuals and also making those same resources available to other people. But we're always evolving and we're always expanding and we're not always going to make good decisions no matter how centered we normally are, no matter how peaceful we normally are. And to be honest, it was going to be a lose-lose situation because if he didn't handle it, then he would be at the center of another set of jokes about what he didn't do as a man and what other men would have done if they were in his shoes. Well, the truth of the matter is most men can't even afford to be in his shoes because you don't know how much those shoes cost. And I don't even mean that just literally, but kind of literally too, but also figuratively, because everything comes at a cost. And a lot of the men making commentary on what he should and shouldn't have done and what they would have done, you don't know what you would do. And two, I mean, at this point, it's just commentary. He did what he did. It's done. So right or wrong, it's already done. And what may not have been, and this is what I'm learning about life, what may not have been right for us, right for the world, right for Will Packer, right for the Oscars, it was probably right for his marriage. He did what he felt like he needed to do to defend the honor of his wife. And that's period. That's it. There's no, in regard to whether or not he was right or wrong, it really doesn't matter because at the end of the day, that man did what he felt like he needed to do to honor the sanctity of his marriage. Whether or not he cheated on her in the past, whether or not she cheated on him, whatever. That in that moment, he did what he felt like he needed to do to honor the covenant of his marriage. He might have laughed in the beginning, and really, that laugh, I don't even pay attention to that laugh because I looked at the like I said, I saw a clip. I'm not even so much concerned about the laugh because I laugh when I'm mad. Or angry, I shouldn't say mad. I'm not crazy, but I laugh when I'm angry. I laugh when I'm sad sometimes. And also, I know, honestly, as a teacher, when those kids are talking to me, sometimes I respond without even really hearing them because I'm just in that setting. At that moment, it's my job to engage them, and I can't listen to every little thing. So it may have taken him a moment to process the joke, or maybe he thought the joke was funny. But when he looked at his wife and he saw that she didn't think it was funny, he had to act. Period. He loved his baby. Whether y'all think she deserved that kind of love or not, he loved her and he showed up for her in the only way that he could think to do. Sorry to Chris Rock, but that's what he felt like he needed to do. Now, that brings us to the other part of this conversation. Did Jada deserve that level of protection? Now, this part is kind of sickening to me. I saw some very derogatory language being used in reference to her that I will not repeat on my platform. But again, whether or not you think she deserved it or deserved that level of protection doesn't matter. Will's not married to you and she's not married to y'all. And most of y'all will never even breathe the air that she breathes. So whether or not you feel like she deserved it or not, it really doesn't matter. A lot of people are bringing up August. Oh, well, why he didn't hit August like that? Like I told one of my friends on Facebook, the difference is August was making her happy. Chris made her sad. Will handled that. The other aspect of it is a lot of y'all took that whole August Alcina thing out of context. People are saying, oh, she shamed him because she put all that business in the street. August exposed that situation. And her and Will did what I feel like people who are mature in Hollywood would do. They got a handle on it and spoke on it in their time and in their way. So regardless of what you think about her for dealing with him, you aren't an active participant in their marriage to determine whether or not she deserves to be protected. If he was going to, just like I heard somebody say, oh, well, she should have left instead of staying and later cheating on him. Well, if he didn't want to be in the marriage anymore, he had just as much opportunity to leave. He decided to stay and he honored his vows on that night by protecting his wife. That's it. So whether or not you think she deserved that kind of protection, it really doesn't matter because he did it and it's done. And I hope that you, if you have not already, I hope that one day you find that person that makes you willing to slap the dog piss out of somebody if they talk to her wrong. Or if you see they say something that she's upset about. And not because it's not even about the violence. It's not about violence. It's about the energy of protection. And so that brings me to my next point. Are women being protected in ways that matter? And I'm going to push it even further and say, are Black women being protected in ways that matter? Now, some of what I'm about to say next can be applied across the board, whether you are of another ethnicity or not. But as a Black woman, my primary perspective is as a Black woman. Genetically, I was Black before I was a woman. So even from a genetic standpoint, it is what it is. So I've heard some interesting perspectives about this because, of course, you know me, I was doing my research and listening. I didn't want to taint my own perspective, but I wanted to hear what some other people said before I spoke what I have spoken so far. So one thing that I would like to see in my community is men that take up the banner for us as women. I feel like whenever something goes wrong with Black women, with Black men, Black women are always on the front line. When George Floyd was murdered, and really all of the murders that happened within that short span of time, Philandro, I'm not going to start naming them all, but because this show isn't about that, but whenever something is going wrong with Black men, when we felt like you guys were being hunted and killed and lynched, we were on the front lines getting maced, sprayed, beaten. And not even just recently, but historically, Black women have put on the cape for Black men. Even when it comes to socially, you know, we'll hold you down when you don't have anything. And then a lot of times, black men, they gain some stature financially or career-wise, platform-wise, whatever the case may be. And then, like Kanye say, and when he get rich, he leave yo up for a white girl. So, I think that this opens up another great conversation about what other ways do black women need protection, or women in general, but specifically, again, black women. Are we being protected mentally, emotionally, spiritually? These are all ways that we can be protected. There's no point in slapping somebody about your woman if you slapping her at the house, or if you are, you know, out here making babies on her, whatever the case may be, cheating on her, stealing her money. I know black men who do that, or trying to find ways to manipulate her out of her, the things that she's worked for. You know, talking about her to other people in a derogatory way. There's so many scenarios that I could come up with, but I think as a whole, Will has really set a standard. I saw a tweet that Iyanla VanZant posted on Twitter, and she said something to the effect of Will Smith has set a standard for men protecting their women. And people were all up in arms because they were like, oh, I can't believe you're advocating for violence. It's not about the violence. But I would like to see that same energy going into protecting women in other ways, protecting our hearts, protecting our minds, protecting our spirits, and just really returning the energy that we've been giving all this time. So, yeah, there's just so many components to this, so many things that we can unpack, but I just wanted to get this conversation going. And let me just add that a majority of us will never know what it's like to be Will or Jada Smith. We live regular lives with minimal reach in comparison to them. So, yes. Even if we're pillars of our communities, it is not the same as being on a platform where, one, your livelihood is based on what people think and how they feel about you, and two, the whole world is watching. Some might argue heavy is the head, but it does not change the fact that there are some things we just won't be able to relate to. But as I said on my Facebook post, if you're not willing to slap somebody about me, you can stay a stranger, and I stand on that. Not because I advocate for violence, but because I know that I am worthy of protection, whatever that looks like in that moment. Honestly, as a sister of four brothers, I think I naturally gravitate towards men who are protective of me. What about you? Do you feel like you prefer men that want to talk it out? Or, I mean, now, don't get me wrong, I'm definitely going to be the one that's like, no, babe, relax. Don't do that. Chill out. I'm going to protect him too. I'm going to try and keep him out of situations. If my man smacks somebody, or, well, the men I like to fight. So it wouldn't even been a slap. Somebody would have had to peel them off. But that's just where I come from. Those are the kind of men that I'm accustomed to. But I'm also the type of woman that I don't care if this man is two or three times bigger than me, I'm going to still stand in the middle like, no, don't do that. And that's just my nature. You know, I'm going to try to defuse the situation. I am going to, if he does end up smacking somebody, I got the car cranked up and I'm rushing him out the door so he doesn't get arrested. And I know a lot of people were like, why wasn't Will arrested? It was just a slap, guys. I have seen people hard down fight. I have seen people get beaten and nobody went to jail. So let's not do that. Let's not be extra. Now, Chris, he could sue Will, but then that would make him kind of look like a simp. I mean, and it really doesn't matter if he wanted to sue him. He could. He has a right to. But what would that accomplish? Chris Rock is already rich. Now, Will Smith smacked me. I'm going to have to sue you. And that's just what it is. But if I'm already rich, I don't have a reason to sue you. I can afford my own. I can afford to go buy my own ice pack. I can afford to go to the doctor. And, you know, if I have to get my jaw realigned or whatever. It is what it is. There is no real reason to sue him other than to prove a point or offer principle. So those of you who are saying, oh, you should sue him, like, you sound kind of poor. I'm sorry. You sound like you don't have any money. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because, again, if he slapped me, I'm going to sue you, Will. I love you. And I'm going to write, like, a little love note for you and Jada later. But, you know, still going to have to, I'm going to have to get that off you, big dog. But if I'm Chris Rock, I don't need your money. And Will apologize, Chris apologize. And men hit each other. One of my really good friends, he told me one time, and I scream every time I think about it. He said, you know, the problem with women is you guys don't hit each other enough. And I felt that because a lot of times we as women have so much hostility with each other. That's a feminine energy. We have so much hostility, but we don't really do anything about it. We might not talk to each other or we'll look at each other funny. But no one, well, rarely does anyone ever just go up and smack them. And maybe some of the issues amongst women would dissipate if it became the norm to be more physical about how we feel. No, I'm kidding. Do not start doing that. That is not good. But he had a valid point. Men, they fight, they tussle, they wrestle, they slap each other, whatever, and they can be friends the next day. Well, do I think Will and Chris will be friends the next day? Probably not. But I think they can move past this. I think they'll be fine. So we can go back to our regular lives, working our regular jobs and minding our regular business. You just make sure, women, that you with somebody that is protecting you in all ways, in all capacities. And men, you make sure that you find a woman that you want, or, well, a partner. You find a partner that you feel so passionate about that you're willing to do whatever for. Not in a uncontrolled, crazy way, but in a way that makes your partner feel protected. So I guess I shouldn't even say man or female, but masculine energies, you go ahead and continue to protect. Feminine energies, you allow that masculine energy to protect you regardless of what your gender is. That's all I have to say about this tonight. This ran kind of long, but let's continue this conversation on social media. You can find me on Facebook as Cupcake Chronicles. I love you so, 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 so much. I'll talk to you next week on Cupcake Chronicles, where we have conversations that matter.